Proponents of fishing, hunting, and trapping have worried for years about the influence of animal rights groups. The organizations have proved powerful in the western states, successfully pushing for restrictions in bear and cougar hunting and some types of trapping. So in 1994, Minnesota U.S. Representative Colin Peterson and State Senator Bob Lassard held several meetings to plan for the anticipated animal rights onslaught. From those meetings came the idea for a state constitutional amendment to preserve hunting, fishing, and trapping forever. Jim Klatt is head of the Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance.
We just wanted to make it harder for them to do that in the state in the future. I mean, the threat's not here right now, granted, but the threat could be here 10 years from now or 15 years from now, or it could be here tomorrow. And the constitutional amendment is probably the best way, or at least the highest legal barrier that we could erect to this.
Amendment 2 on state ballots will ask this question: shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to affirm that hunting and fishing and the taking of game and fish are a valued part of our heritage that shall be forever preserved for the people and shall be managed by law and regulation for the public good? At first, it looked like a slam dunk. There are more than 1 million anglers in Minnesota, 450,000 deer hunters. Many millions are spent annually in the pursuit of game. The State House and Senate voted almost unanimously to put the question on the ballot, and it got immediate endorsements from gubernatorial candidates Coleman, Humphrey, and Ventura. So it was surprising when a recent poll found Minnesotans split on the issue. Howard Goldman, who's leading a campaign to defeat Amendment 2, says that's because no one's trying to ban hunting and fishing right now. Why go so far to protect it?
There is no need for this particular amendment, pure and simple.
Besides directing the No on 2 campaign, Goldman is head of the group Friends of Animals and Their Environment, or FATE, the 500-member organization which has lobbied in the past to ban hunting deer with bows and arrows. Goldman argues it's frivolous to clutter the state constitution with something he says is as inconsequential as a sporting activity. He also says the amendment is unclear, that hunters might use it as legal cover to shoot anything that moves.
To take wolves, for example, even to trespass. If there's a conflict between trespass, where land is posted, and one's constitutional right to hunt, where will the courts come down on that? What about treaty rights, Native Americans? Where Native Americans exercise certain controls, would they be jeopardized? Or certain rights, would those rights be jeopardized because of this constitutional amendment? No one really knows.
Goldman also fears the amendment would give a permanent pass to the instrument most despised by animal rights groups, the leg-hold trap.
This trap causes terrible suffering. It's terribly indiscriminate. Values are changing in our society. And we think if this amendment is passed, it forecloses any future discussion. All of these issues would no longer be on the table. Leghold trap, bow hunting, so on, if this amendment is passed.
The Outdoor Heritage Alliance's Jim Klatt says Goldman's concentration on wolves and leghold traps is disingenuous, that the amendment clearly allows the DNR and state legislature to maintain control over all game-taking methods and seasons, just as they do now. As for cluttering the Constitution,
state constitutions are designed for a majority opinion to protect what they perceive as their majority opinion on into the future, not just for now, but on into the future, and that state constitutions are set up to do that. Our constitution in this state has 112 amendments in it. I mean, it's not exactly like it's a pristine 10-amendment thing.
At Eckelman's gun shop and rifle range near Brainerd, a teenage boy and his father sight in a deer rifle, the kid holding steady at the shooting bench despite enormous recoil. Watching is Steve Torreseva, himself fresh off 80 rounds of target practice. He's rubbing his shoulder.
It's a 300 Winchester Magnum and develops an amazing amount of energy, and where your body has to absorb all that recoil, there's no chance to get away from it. So
Torreseva's voting yes on Amendment 2.
I feel that it's part of who we are and what we are. I feel that I was born to be a hunter. Our bodies are the bodies of a predator. Our systems are that of a predator. I feel it's an unalienable right that we have to have and we have to preserve.
Range owner Mark Eckelman has been talking up the amendment with his customers. He says while there's no immediate threat to the activities that support his business, hunters and trappers in the western states were complacent and have paid for it in new restrictions.
You aren't going to find any group to come out and just start trying to ban everything all in one shot. They'll start with Trapping, of course, is one of the bigger ones. Years ago, they tried to ban bow hunting a little bit at a time, and they just keep chipping away at it until they meet their desired result.
Meantime, there's been opposition to Amendment 2 from surprising quarters. An editorial in the Brainerd Daily Dispatch, in the heart of Lake Country, says the only real protection for outdoor sports lies in teaching them to the next generation. And a column in the Outdoor News, one of the most fervent sporting publications in Minnesota, recently characterized the amendment as a political bandwagon, vaguely worded, against a threat that may not exist. Leif Enger, Minnesota Public Radio.